Amen. Are you at Romans 12? I'm in the Passion Translation. I'll be in the Passion Amplified, and maybe one or two others, just for clarity, so we'll get a good understanding of what God is saying. But Romans 12:1 says, "Beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous be to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God." And I know that when Pastor Sarah was here, she would say, "No, you don't surrender, you submit." I say surrender. Surrender is absolute. We have to absolutely surrender ourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. And as I was sharing on Sunday, just in normal conversations with people, we can talk about sin, you know, as opposed to not sinning, or this is sin, that sin. We talk about right and wrong. We talk about good and evil. But I have never had or heard a conversation about being holy. It seems like it's something that we don't talk about. And we need to, because there's an expectation that that's what we are. We may sing some songs about it. You know, we'll get caught up in praise and worship singing songs about being holy, but we don't talk about being holy. We'll talk about, "Oh, I'm having a hard time living, you know, I'm trying not to sin," or "things are a little rough," but we don't talk about being holy. And we need to, because when you look at 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and 15 in the Amplified Classic, says, "Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living." So when I read that, folks, it's a big deal. God is telling us the expectation is in everything that concerns us in any degree, we should be conducting ourselves as holy. In all, it says, in all your conduct and manner of living. So you could say in all your conduct and all your manner of living. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we feel, everything we think needs to be underscored by holy. A.W. Tozer, he's a noted author, he's a pastor. About 60 years ago, he wrote, "Many evangelical churches are closer to the world than to New Testament standards in almost every regard. Christianity today is man-centered, not God-centered." Not in my notes, but thought just popped in. We've gotten to the place where we're lifting up and exalting people and not God. We're looking at people and not God. We're being impressed by people and not God. Why are we doing that? We're taking away we're replacing our adoration to God with adoration for people. That's man-centered, not God-centered. We have unlimited access to the Word of God. Most believers have anywhere to 10, 15, 20 different Bibles in their home, And you have access to hundreds of Bibles online. That's what I use, electronic Bible when I'm teaching. But we have access to all of the information that we need. So why are we still having issues with living holy? We already have God's position on the subject. God is saying, I know how you used to be. That's what he's saying. I know the type of life you used to live. I know absolutely everything about your past, and this is what I have to say about it. Look in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 is what he has to say about it. You are a chosen generation. Yes, I know what you did before you got saved. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God is saying, I know you were wrapped in darkness. I called you out. And I called you out to be my holy nation, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God. So we went from being a nobody ragtag sinner to being a person called out by God. We were not a people, but are now the people who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So one time God wasn't merciful to us. Now he is. He's saying, I saw this afternoon. Most of you probably know the account of Lazarus, great friend of Jesus. He died. Jesus wasn't there. He was buried in a tomb. 4 days later, Jesus shows up, raised him from the dead. But I was thinking about that, or I should say, while I was reading this scripture, that we were once not a people, we were a chosen generation, that God called us out of darkness into his light. The Holy Ghost said, God is calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light, just like Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, think about what Lazarus was. He was in a grave, wrapped up with, I call them death cloths, you know, but he was strapped up like a mummy. And it wasn't looking good for him at all, because he'd been dead 4 days and his body had started decomposing. And when Jesus shows up and says Lazarus is going to be, you know, raised from the dead, folks just gave him lip service. They're like, uh-huh. And so he said to them, roll away the stone. And Mary said, no, don't do that. Because he's been in there 4 days. He's going to stink to the high heavens. But Jesus had, hear me carefully. Jesus, we're talking about it at that moment, he had no regard for Lazarus' past or present condition. It didn't matter who he was. It didn't matter what he was doing at that moment. Jesus called him out. Called him out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And in the Bible, it says in John 7:43, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now listen to this. He was bound up. But when Jesus called, the binding couldn't stop him. Even though he was wrapped up like a mummy, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came forth. The darkness of death couldn't stop him from coming. Jesus called, and anything associated with death and darkness had to yield so that Lazarus could go forth. Now, the only thing that Lazarus had to do was want to go forward. That's all he had to do. Even though Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus could have said, I'm staying here. I enjoy being dead. I think that would be kind of dumb, but he had that option. But when you think about it, the ones that bound him had to remove the binding and let him go. Well, that's what God is saying about us now. He said we're a chosen generation in 1 Peter 2. He said we're a royal priesthood. He said we're a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, so when he called us and we were wrapped up in darkness, the darkness that we were wrapped up in could not stop us from answering the call. It had to let us go because we wanted to go. We once were not a people, but now are the people of God who have not obtained who had not obtained mercy, but now we have mercy. And because of that, still in 1 Peter 2, back up to 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and 15 in the Amplified Classic, we've been called out, live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. And I was thinking, why would he have to say that? Well, we were called out of that, and we decided to come out. But that doesn't mean that what we came out of left. What we came out of is still there. And if we don't have a solid connection with God by living holy, we're subject to go back. That's why, finishing up in that scripture, live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Now, when you think about that last verse, the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. That verse is giving us information and instruction and encouragement. All of that. As the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. He's telling us, folks, about the character of the one who called us. The one who called us is holy. He's also letting us know that nothing can stop us. Because he said to us, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. What he's saying to us is, I called you and I'll keep you if you just stay with me. That's what he's telling us. I called you, I'll keep you. Just stay with me. And if we're going to just stay with him, that means that our connection to him needs to be solid. As it says in the Bible, we're steadfast, immovable, always abounding. We have to have a solid connection if we're going to stay with God, if we want him to keep us, and if we've answered the call. And that's similar to what he said to the Israelites back in Exodus 19. This is the New King James Version. Where again, he's telling him something about his character. He said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Jesus is telling the folks, you will be my holy nation. But you have to remember who I am. You have to remember the thing that I've done for you. And you have to know that I will continue to protect you. So you don't have to worry about anything. All you have to do is stay holy. And you're protected. You're covered. In John 15, the Passion Translation, first seven verses, Jesus said, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends to the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me, God cares for those who are connected to Christ. By lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. In the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. So Jesus just said, my hand to hold you is always there. You have to connect with me. And you have to stay connected with me. Because I'm not going anywhere. For as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. When it says intimately, that means that's as close as you can get. Jesus said, I am the sprouting vine. I'm the one who produces. And you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But where you live separated from me, you are powerless. That's why so many of us are going through so many issues. We haven't stayed securely connected to the vine. We're not being holy in all our conduct and manner of living. It says, if a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. See, this isn't on Jesus. This isn't on our support. It's on us. The support is there. Nothing can overcome it. We have to make a choice to go there and connect to our support and stay connected. The scripture says live in life union. Like, looked up that term life union. And it means necessary to the existence, continuance or well-being of something. It's indispensable. It's essential. It's indispensable. We cannot live a holy life without being in life union with the Christ. We can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. I told you about that crane that fell and did all the damage, killed four people, left a lot of people homeless because it took out a brownstone in Manhattan. And they're saying, well, the reason it fell down was because of a piece of steel fell down and hit it, and it fell. No, that's not what caused the crane to fall. The crane fell because it wasn't securely connected to its support. That's why it fell. If it was securely connected to its support, even though the steel plate hit it, it wouldn't have moved anywhere because the support is designed to withstand that type of abuse or attack or whatever you want to call it. And so is our relationship with Christ. So is our ability to live holy. A life in Christ makes all of that possible, no matter what we are going through, if we are securely connected. And the reason we're having such issues is because we're not securely connected. We have too much of the world still in us. And it's so close that we switch back and forth without even thinking about it. And we need to start thinking about it. We're called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Well, when are we called to be that? All of the time. All of the time. I understand that things happen. I understand we live in a body. I understand we live in the flesh. I understand all of that. Yes, Just because there's pastor in front of my name doesn't mean that me or my family are exempt from it. There are things that we go through and are going through. But if you stay securely connected, you'll ride it out. You'll ride it out. Because you'll be connected to the vine. And you'll be speaking vine language. What is vine language? Faith. We remember who God is, who Jesus is. Remember that there's no God greater than him. And our opinion of God doesn't wane. You have to understand, when supports give out, things fall. And you never know what the collateral damage is going to be. See, the crane, the support was in position. The support was where it was supposed to be, prepared to do what it was supposed to do. It just wasn't properly connected. Whoever had that responsibility failed. And so the crane was not in position to receive all the support that the support had to offer. When we walk out of holiness, folks, we walk away from what's been positioned, placed in position to assist us. We walk away from it. That's why we have to stay put. And you stay put by not look. You put like spiritual blinders on, where you keep looking at who God is and you keep hearing what God said. So when the situation comes, your speech is, I know who I am, and I know what I was called to do, and that's all I'm going to do. And you don't pay any attention to the darkness that's trying to woo you away from God. Smith Wigglesworth, in one of his devotionals, wrote, I shared this with you before, he wrote, I find nothing in the Bible but holiness and nothing in the world but worldliness. Therefore, if I live in the world, I will become worldly. On the other hand, if I live in the Bible, I will become holy. Well, why is that true? 2 Timothy 3, Amplified Classic. Every scripture is God-breathed. Every scripture given by God, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness in holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, in action. It says every scripture is God-breathed. Every scripture is profitable for instruction. Every scripture trains us in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Be ye holy in all conduct and manner of living. Holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. So the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we stick with the word of God, we will always be proficient. That's what Wigglesworth was talking about. Every scripture is profitable. That's why the more time you spend in the word, the holier you become. And I would think, not just for you, but for me also, if the goal is to be holy and holiness is found in the Bible, why aren't we spending more time in the Bible? Soaking up the holiness. Why haven't we become and treated the Bible or grabbed the Bible like we're in life union, like it is vital to our life? Because it is. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Again, and I don't usually use a lot of quotes other than the Bible, but this is the exception. because I was reading these, someone sent me these quotes, and someone I respect a great deal. And as I was reading them, God started showing me parallels. But Tozer wrote, our era today, now mind you, he wrote this somewhere around 60 years ago because he passed away in 1963. Our era today is that we do not expect a converted man to be a transformed man. As a result of that era, our churches are full of substandard Christians. Not because they're not converted, but because they're not transformed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature, a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Think about what it says. The old condition left. So now you're standing there empty. A new, fresh life has come. We have the responsibility to go to that new life and embrace it and take it in and let that new life become our life. Once that happens, then we've started the process of transformation. See, when we received Christ, we were indeed converted. But now we have to become transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Passion Translation says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured. Or you could say we are being transformed into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's really that simple. This, as they say, this is not complicated in the least. We've received Christ as Savior. Now we have to be transformed by allowing him to be Lord. We say, you're Lord of my life. Well, if you have a Lord over your life, then that means, folks, that you don't do anything without the consent of your Lord. Period. Say, well, to what degree does that go to? In every area you can think of. Lord, can I go to the bathroom? Something as base as that. Yes. Because you said, and we sing the song, he's my Lord. You have risen from the dead and you're my Lord. So every knee bow down, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, I believe that. I believe you believe he's Lord. Allow him to be Lord of your life. How do you do that? By living holy. If you want to maintain and establish a solid connection, the formula is simple. I've shared it a number of times. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and 15. Live, verse 14 actually. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourself to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you didn't know the requirements of the gospel. It's the fact that the Bible says do not tells us a couple of things. It tells us that there's something else there that hasn't gone. The evil desire is there, but it's not stronger than you are. Because if it were stronger than you are, then it would be wrong for Jesus to say, do not, because we wouldn't be able to. But the fact that he says do not means we have the choice to say, I'm going to do what this thing wants. Or we can say, I'm not doing that, I'm staying holy. But the power was given to us. And part of the transformation is learning how to walk in your authority that you had, were given in Christ. Jesus is the one that said, I gave you power over all the power that the enemy possesses. He's the one that said, I gave you physical and mental strength and ability over it. He's the one that said, nothing shall by any means harm you. Some translations say, as you walk in that authority. So that the fact that the Bible says to us, do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. Well, we're not ignorant of it anymore. Now we know. And I got to tell you, ignorance can be cured by knowledge or education. Just like when people say, oh, you're stupid. I said, well, that's okay. If you understand what's going on and you can learn from that. Because stupid doesn't mean you don't know. Stupid means you know what's going to happen, you know it's not going to work out for you, but you do it anyway. So for a believer who's been conformed, we're not transformed because we're ignorant. We're transformed because we're being stupid. We're believing we can find something. We're believing that the enemy is going to give us something that's much better than God can ever give us. Now, that's just stupid. You can say whatever you want, just say that's stupid. Reverend Craig Hagin wrote a book, Don't Be Stupid. I recommend you get it and read it. It's based on the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says, live as children of obedience. In verse 15, it says again, but as the one who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. And there's a very good question that goes along with that. How do you do that? Well, remember we read that all scripture is profitable? Let's see what the scripture has to say. Go to Colossians 3. As I get ready to wrap this up. If then you have been raised with Christ, which you have, to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Listen to this. And set your minds and keep them set on what's above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth, which you could say are the worldly things. But keep in mind that it says, set your mind and keep them set. That means you have the power, you have the authority to do it. The devil can't stop you from setting your mind on the higher things if you really want to. For as far as the world is concerned, you have died. And your new life, your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members. Those animal impulses and all that's earthly in you that's employed in sin. It said, you kill, deaden, you deprive it of power. It's not stronger than you are. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the defying of self and other created things instead of God. The deifying of self and other created things instead of God. It's on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked, But again, even though you once walked in all of that stuff, when God called you, you walked out of it. And when you walked out of it, it died. But every time you go back to it, you pump life into it and death into yourself. Among whom you also once walked when, and were living in and addicted to such practices. But now, again, it's telling us we have the power, but now put away and rid yourself completely of all these things. Anger, rage, bad feelings towards others, curses and slander and foul mouth abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another. That implies that we have been lying to one another. For you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil desires and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is even in the process of being renewed and remodeled into fuller and into a fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There's no room, and there can be neither Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, nor differences between nations, whether alien, barbarian, Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave, nor free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men without distinction of person. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself. And this is how you do it, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feelings, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. That means be patient. If one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. So unforgiveness means you're living an unholy life. Above all, and above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your heart. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you. That creates that solid connection. All its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing praises and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God and his grace in your heart, and whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. Folks, I'm telling you, if you do these things, just as the one who called you is holy, you will be holy in all conduct and manner of living. But it's going to take discipline. It's going to take perseverance. And it's going to take strength. You already have power and authority over anything that can stop you. So the discipline, the power, and the strength is needed for you to convince yourself that this is the life for me, and this is what I'm going after. I'm going to be holy because the one who called me is holy. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for the word you shared with us this evening. Thank you for letting us know that what you said we are well able to perform if we want to. And it's so comforting to know that you're always there and that we can choose and will choose to make a solid connection with you so that we can live the holy life that you made it possible for us to live. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just before I let you go, if there's anyone out there and you never confess Jesus Christ as Savior, in a few seconds, I'll lead you in a confession, because that's the key. You cannot, it is impossible for you to live a holy life if you're not connected to the vine. And the vine is Jesus the Christ. Now, well, how do you connect with him? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Or you can say you'll be connected. Just by speaking with your mouth, believing with your heart. So just say these words. It won't take long. Jesus, I believe you are God's son. And I believe you're everything that the Bible says you are. I believe that with all of my heart. I believed you went to hell in my place. And after spending 3 days in hell, you were raised from the dead. So I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I need your solid connection. I want your solid connection. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I'm turning to you, and I'm asking you to please make something new of me. Well, folks, if you said that confession and you meant it, according to the Bible, you just got born again. You have become converted. And as we talked about, now that you're converted, we have to go step two, which is to get you transformed. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, that's why we have the contact us information on the screen. Just contact us. We will send you free information on what you need to. Well, it'll explain to you in greater detail what you experienced tonight. And it'll share with you some things that you can do to start the transformation process. But remember, being converted is not good enough. You must be transformed so that you can live the life. And if you have, as always, if you have any questions about anything I've shared, use the same contact us information. I will get back to you. I will get back to you. If you contact me, I'll get back to you. It may not be the same day, but I will get back to you.